M1 is the finance super app where you can invest, borrow, save, and spend all in one place. You set your strategy, and they automate it for free in an easy-to-use app. M1 is making money management easier, smarter, and more automated than ever. If you're like me and you struggle to make time for investing, or anything really, M1 is the best set-it-and-forget-it investing app I've ever used. Go to m1finance.com/Katoon to get started today and earn $30 to invest after you fund your account. Terms and conditions apply. M1, yours to build. First off, Sam, welcome back to the show. Appreciate you taking the time. I remember from our last show and many other pictures of you that the wild hair is a part of it. So I literally I took a shower. I did not do my hair just so it would look like a disaster.
Thank you.
We would be able to do this together.
That makes me feel a lot more comfortable. So I really, appreciate that, Scott.
This is an experience-driven, you know, podcast. We want to make sure everyone feels at home.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at home and ready to rock. No, man, it's great to see you and always a joy to chat. So thank you for having me.
Of course. So obviously we'll get into DeskPass. We'll talk about that. You have a beautiful office behind you. So my natural question, of course, is always, are you at a DeskPass site or are you at your own home or your own office?
Ah, good question and interesting answer. So this is a co-working space on DeskPass, which is called Artwork, which is in like the West Town part of Chicago. And the DeskPass HQ, our global headquarters, is based out of this office, although we're a fully remote and distributed team. So this is mostly my office. But over the last couple of years, we've created a little co-working space, really just as like a laboratory for us. Because I opened a co-working space about 11 years ago, which was the first co-working space in Chicago. And a lot has changed. So it's been really interesting to have like this little co-working laboratory to practice what we preach. So
that makes sense, right? Like, I think that's probably something that people wouldn't think about is that like in any other business, you do generally have some sort of customer like survey feedback that you want. You are in a world where you're serving people who are working remote or working different places or different times. So having a co-working space would make a lot of sense. I assumed your HQ was just stuffed inside of a MacBook, but obviously you have a much bigger company now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely is. My work is out of my laptop, but it's nice to have this little home. And to your point, like, you know, we have customers who find our space through DeskPass, and I get to like, hey, who are you? How did you find us? Which is really kind of a unique form of input that you just don't get with surveys. And then remembering what it's like to run a space, and it's not that great all the time. And just sort of having empathy for the people who run a co-working space and manage it. I think it allows us to remember what it is we actually do on these computers.
It's like an Airbnb, but with like neckties.
Exactly.
And obviously nobody wears neckties anymore.
Yeah, no, it's like,
if you were.
Yeah, of course.
So the world is a little different than the last time we chatted. There's like some irony to it too, though, because you're going to tell people on here what DeskPass is, we'll get into that. But like when you first came on my show, this is years ago now, it was like WeWork was kind of coming into Chicago and kind of doing some shit. And I remember distinctly having this conversation with you like, oh yeah, the future is like, even big businesses, it's like people want to get out. They want to have offsite. They want to do this. And we were just kind of hitting into like the, obviously WeWork blew up and that's a whole nother podcast for a different day.
Sure.
But like the concept, you know, there was something like 87 incubator co-worker, whatever you want to call it, spots across Chicagoland about the time that we last talked. And then the world obviously got shut down and now we're coming back and it's like co-working, I think, is going to be massive again, but for completely different reasons.
And yeah.
I'm curious to, I guess, give the audience the couple minute pitch on what DeskPass is, how to use it, where to go and all that. But then I want to use that like lens of like before and after and start looking at like, cause I said to you before the show, I think your business is like an index predictor of like how far away from like full speed are we, as well as like, what does full speed look like?
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a heck of a transformation in the last few years. And to your point, this concept of remote work and being able to kind of choose where you get the best work done went from like this, hey, this is this really cool, sounds like the future type of concept that some companies were progressive enough to start trying, you know, to this is a real problem we have and we don't know how to solve for. We don't really know what the future looks like when it comes to where our employees work and how much office we need. And so it's been a really, really wild time that has been accelerated by COVID. But yeah, I mean, just high level what we do. And it's evolved, Scott. You know, I mean, today we work with about 1,000 co-working spaces in 38 cities. We're in 4 countries today. And we predominantly work with companies, right? So one of the companies that I always like to mention is GoodRx, but you know, Techstars is a customer, Moderna's a customer. And what we do is we go to those companies and we say, hey, why don't you give your employees access to all of these office spaces on demand? And that includes, you know, all of these different bookable spaces within a co-working space, everything from a hot desk where you can work for the day, a meeting room for maybe a podcast interview or a boardroom or a training center, and then private offices, and really offering those by the hour or by the day or by the week rather than just the way that real estate has traditionally been sold. And today we go directly to GoodRx and say, add your employees. You can try this for basically no cost to get sign up and access the platform. You give your GoodRx team access to all of these spaces, and then you only pay for it if they use it. And it allows companies that are fundamentally rethinking who has to be in the office, who needs a desk, how often, and yep, gives them this really valuable tool in between working from home and, you know, working at HQ.
I think it's brilliant. I do the like a pitch reviews newsletter every week, send out companies that are crowdfunding, whether it's secondary or reg CF or whatever they're doing. And yeah, one of the companies that he recently did was this company VEL, which is trying to build effectively, if WeWork and Starbucks had a love child, this is their concept. And they opened their first one up in like Savannah, Georgia. And it looks really cool, but it's sort of like, it gets back to this point of a lot of the bigger companies I talk to and their issue, which is the problem that their employees are stating. It's not just that like we need them in office or we want them to be around because their job requires many people and it's better in person. It's actually that they want to get the fuck out of the house and they're disengaged because they've got kids running around and they're freaking out. And like, you know, believe it or not, this may come as a surprise to all those people out there who are single and not living with children and spouses. Because you're at home and you're working, they don't actually think that you're working. Like, so the idea of like, I'm busy from, you know, 9 to 5 but you're home, you're not. So the crying baby, the diaper change, the kid banging the door, the wife's like, what the fuck are you doing up there? Like that's real. And you need to get away from it. And I think your clientele at GoodRx, they're trying to create a solution for that, which you have. And I think that's the future. I think it's super smart.
It's all about productivity at the end of the day, we think. And it doesn't
just happiness too, right? Because if you constantly feel like you're not productive, you don't feel unhappy, which means you disengage because you're trying to just like create some calm.
Totally. And at the end of the day, your employer doesn't really give a shit other than in productivity. I mean, obviously they care about you, but all these worries about about if you're going to be effective and work, it's all about productivity. And to employees, it's all about productivity. And I think what we've learned is that changes based on where you are in your life or what project you're working on. Anyone who says, well, I don't understand, I have a nice office at home, seems like, why would I ever go to one of these spaces? It's like, well, my 3-year-old figured out that they could yell at me through the HVAC. So I was trying to sit in my basement and all of a sudden my kid's like, dad, throwing coins, trying to get my attention. I'm like, well, you don't have that. That's why I have to get out of here. And I don't want to go to the office in downtown. I live in the suburbs, you know? I think at the end of the day, the idea that we all go to the same place to be productive based on our own schedules and our own lives and our own careers and our own professions is just kind of BS. And finally, something changed kind of most people's understanding that I actually can be productive when I work from home. And it's about optimizing where is the best place to work for me when I need it, you know?
I totally agree with you. And I actually think And I don't, obviously you didn't, weren't looking for a pandemic when you started this business years ago, but I kind of feel like the way that you, you know, you've got a design approach to everything anyway, like that's already kind of baked into who you are. You were already, unlike a lot of these other groups who were looking at it as like strictly solving for occupancy, like what's the closest common denominator between this business that has 1,000 employees downtown and where they mostly live and commute? So like, here's how we're going to logistics figure this out. I don't feel like that was ever your MO. And now after the pandemic, it's like, well, really the problem I'm trying to solve is convenience cost, convenience stress. Everything post COVID has like come down to time. And me personally, like as a person who operates, you know, basically three businesses now simultaneously, which can be a bit of a pain in the ass. I'm just trying to buy back time where I can. Like if there's anybody who's like, I'm going to give you a discount on your time, I'm scooping that up like an investment. And so when I look at your business now and how you solve this problem, it really doesn't have anything to do with the people. And it, I mean, it does obviously, but it doesn't directly. It doesn't really have anything to do with your customer, GoodRx. It comes down to like, what is a way for you to have the optimum amount of convenience and occupy your work and do whatever that work is and be able to feel like you got some time back and you got what you needed done. If you're solving that problem instead of like solving for occupancy, selling X number of headcount, like that shit, I think that's probably where co-working died in the past. And now the revived version is you creating opportunities.
Totally. One interesting idea that we think about a lot, which most people haven't thought about because why would you? But it's also this idea of, I mean, everything you said, but there's also something really interesting that's happening right now, which is, you know, the office used to be this one-to-many solution. Like it's easy for a company to manage an office, have the food there, have the entertainment there, have all the equipment there, have all the meetings there, because it's easier, right? COVID remote work blows that up. And all of a sudden you have and I don't mean to use a buzzword here, but a decentralized office, right? Yep. And that is a much harder problem to solve than the old problem. And it presents all sorts of new questions that are going to be more important in the future. Like before, it didn't really matter where you lived personally because all of our work activity was centered around the office. And now that we don't have to go to the office anymore, maybe I am more interested in where you live, because if you live in Lakeview or some, you know, there's opportunities for colleagues to recognize, hey, there's a cluster of us in this suburb or in this area, and perhaps we can self-organize and create opportunities to connect and work and get what we need out of our day, but do that in a way that we didn't have to think about before because everyone just showed up at the office. So there are new questions that folks like us and lots of other people are trying to answer, which is trying to solve for this future world where you don't have to go to HQ every day, but you're still trying to like enjoy your life with your colleagues and, you know, get good work done and enjoy it.
I think it's a massive opportunity. I mean, like, well, first off, just a side note, if you're raising capital, you should definitely put that decentralized line in the first slide. Like, oh, decentralized. They'll skip right to the end. They won't even fucking read it. They'll go right to the end and look at like, what's the terms?
Like increase the multiple.
He says decentralized. This thing must be some kind of a real estate NFT. It's in the realm. He's metaverse. Let's invest. So like, that's your first, that's all the VCs out there. I'm not laughing.
That's some good advice, Scott. Thank you.
I'm laughing with you. But you know, in a more important note though, like your point about the one to many is so true. And there's like a lot of things in our life that has changed, not just because of COVID, just tech. That's now one-to-one. Our consumer behavior is on-demand everything, customized everything, personalized, and here today. So like the one-to-many shipping routes that used to be shipping aren't acceptable. Like the idea of buying shirts like this and putting my little name on my Patagonia is like, it's crazy that I don't. So with all that said, the tech, even 2 years ago, like while Grubhub was on its run and Uber Eats and everything is good, they were kind of having some issues. And you saw like Fooda as an example, just kind of staying in the Chicago realm, was in a heyday. And they were eviscerated immediately with COVID. Now they're back and doing things. They've made some changes. But the point here is, if I'm a big company and I used to do one to many, I think if we were talking about what you're doing 2 years ago, trying to create a one to many optionality, but in a one-to-one delivery, I think it's impossible. But what I think what we have today is I think companies can have relationships with a Grubhub, with you, with other groups that are large, and basically say like, hey, we're going to have credits. We're going to spend the same amount of money as it was one-to-one, but now it's one to, you know, or sorry, as one-to-many. Now it's one-to-one. So you can go to a desk pass. You can open up your Grubhub thing, order some lunch. It's on the house just like it would have been. Like totally. All these options are there.
That's happening. I mean, you know, the thing that's really fascinating about this, and to your point, I'm a designery guy, like right. design thinking, strategy, psychology that came into commercial real estate. But think of the words of commercial real estate. You have landlord. Who else gets lord in their title? Like that's old school. You have occupier. You have tenant. These are not vacancy. The words of people. Right? No. Like at the end of the day, forever, the office really didn't feel like it was designed for the employees, for the people who show up there and use the space. It was more designed around what the landlord was trying to get from the bank and then the occupier can get from the landlord. And I think there has been a real defining moment that's been enabled by technology where people are really starting to think about this and think like, well, Scott is a human. What does Scott want? And let's find a solution around what's best for Scott, opposed to let's get this tenant into this unit. And it's just like, there's a, I think, a humanization of using the office and workspace that has really been accelerated over the last few years, which is ultimately going to make for a better experience. Because yeah, you want your office the same way you want your dinner or your Uber or your, you want this type of thing right now and you want right. to click it and show up. That's how you get everything else in your life. And that's how you should be able to get your workspace.
I had this conversation with a couple, well, I mean, it's, this has been going for 2 years. It's like this conversation about work from home versus remote versus whatever. And you know, everyone has different opinions and you're, what you do in your job and the business and the work, all of it does matter. But
yeah.
one of the things that sticks to me is like, and I've said this to all of the people who are very pro work back in the office. We like, would you say that other than the fact you want to have control, would you say that knowing that you could have far more like operational effectiveness from your employees if you were not doing that? Like if I'm a person who would much better to put my kids down and then go work for 3 hours and come home, then yeah. be a guy who's like, fuck, I got to wake up at 6:30. I got to clam into my train. I got to walk to this thing. I got to get on a bus. I got to go to the office. I got to wear this stupid suit. It rains and I'm soaking wet and I'm going to sit here and work for 9 hours and then do this whole thing again and go home. That's totally. Done. Like, it's just like, you're not going to get happy people. Like it's going to be hard enough to get people to show up without having sweatpants on.
No, and that is the end game here, right? At the end of the end of the end of the day, it's about people, right? It's about right. talent. It's if I want to hire the best person and that best person has multiple opportunities and one of those employees say, hey, same comp, same job, same prestige. One says, you have to wake up in the suburb and drive every morning or we don't care, you get to the city 5 days a week. And you say, well, I can get my work done. I'm happy to come to the office, but I'm not going to. And another employer says, you can work from wherever you want. We don't really care. A few days a week or a month, we need you in certain spaces. You're going to take the yeah. job with more flexibility.
Not even a question.
And that's, at the end of the day, going to change people's behavior and business behavior. Because frankly, you're not going to be able to hire the most talented people in the world if you make them go to an office every single day. So I think like there's lots of other things that are happening, but at the end of the day, it's us, the people that are going to drive this change. It's just, we learned over the last 2 years, how much more effective we can be. And the folks who we work for recognized, oh, you're right. Also, that empty office is pretty expensive and right. I don't have an option on it for 3 more years, you know?
I'm excited, not for my real estate friends who continually think that this is going to go right back to normal. We're going to always have space. Like there's always a need. It's just how you use it. And to me that like, that's the end question. And I hope that all the people who are using the desk pass of the world stand tall and are like, I'm not going back. Like not, at least not 5 days a week. Like I'm totally cool to do a 2 to 3 day thing downtown to be with yeah. the team, feel the whole thing. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be sitting in traffic. I'm not doing it. Not consistently anyway.
Yeah. Like, and every company is different. I mean, that's what we do, basically. We talk to companies all day that are trying to solve for this. And no two companies are the same.
Right.
And nor should they be. And you shouldn't have the same solution for two companies. So it's really about understanding your team and your employees, what they need, and building an experience and like benefits that they want.
So, okay. So we're going to take the crystal ball out here and the information that you know and get to see. I think about a month and a half ago, I felt the vibe like we were really starting to get back. We were looking at opening our office up to have people back again, kind of that 3-day work week type deal, or 3-day in, you know, in office work week. And then this new variant comes out and everybody and their brother and sister and mother and father that I know apparently have it. And now we're like, oh, well, let's do this mid-January. And all I could think of was like, holy, this reminds me of like end of 2020. And we were like, oh, well, maybe. And then it's like, oh, actually it's 2021 now. And it's like, well, maybe summer. And here we are again.
Yeah.
You are a person who has seen that ebb and flow. You're seeing the companies and what they're doing. Where are we at in this business journey? You're not Fauci. I'm not asking about COVID, but like, where are we at? I mean, you're welcome to opine about it, but
yeah,
where are we at from a business side? Like how, I guess this is a long winding version of this question, but what I'm trying to get to here is when I look at everything as it's unfolded, we're getting to a point where we did this, like, we'll sit and wait. We did this point where we were like, oh, we're going to, you know, kind of start moving people in and then not. And I feel like now we've gotten to a point where people recognize like this thing could just be on and off and on and off forever. So we better build flexible. And I'm just curious, like what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we see data that I think is really interesting and can share some of that. But I think, I mean, there's a really great New York Times article about this the other day. And it's like these organizations have set so many deadlines and so much timing around the return to the office to basically be at square one again today. And, you know, I'm a human and like, it's freaking absolutely horrible what's happened. And I wish it could all go away, but you know, it's really, I feel like companies are coming to an understanding that inevitably they have to have more flexible policies. They have to have a better understanding of what their employees work. And the big companies move very slowly, but you got to remember, like, leases expire every 5 years. We've been and most companies think about a year and a half before their lease expires, right? So we're 2 years into this, but in lease timing, we're 3.5 years into this. And the average lease is like 5 years. So over the course of the next year, almost every single company will have, that has a lease, will have had to make a leasing decision over this period of like incredible uncertainty. So I think what we are seeing is many companies quit their posturing that they know what's gonna happen and they were gonna go back this way and this certain time and a certain date and saying we don't really know what's going to happen and we're going to be more flexible and play it by ear. To us in our business, you know, the longer people are divorced and disintermediated from the old way of doing things, we think the longer, more profound, faster acceleration of this change that we're going to see. But, you know, when it comes to our data, just, and we're, you know, out fundraising, so I pitch this stuff a lot right now, but it's,
and
like,
you put decentralized at the top, right?
It's a decentralized, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Just Web3. Checking.
you know, there's interesting data out there that measures the traditional commercial real estate market. One of the metrics that we follow is a metric called like the Avis and Young return to work metric data. It's based off of like cell phone data and some parking data, and basically tries to like measure how many people are going back to the office. And this isn't going to be 100% upstate, but it's pretty close. And, you know, basically when COVID hit in the United States, the office went to zero. And since March-ish, when the vaccines became readily available in the US to the end of the year, the return to work to office growth rate was probably sub 4% month over month, meaning today we're at like 40%. 40% of the traditional office has gone back nationally. This might be different because Omicron, where we're at exactly. But if you look at our business, and it's obviously much smaller than the overall commercial real estate market, but we've seen 35% month over month since March of people going to our offices. And we think this is really just kind of this big macro like indicator, which it's not that people aren't ready to go back to the office. It's not that people aren't going to go back to the office. It's that the types of offices that were there before are not the right ones for the future.
Yeah.
And people are voting with their feet and they're going to the spaces that are the right types of spaces for the future. So I think this is, you know, a big indicator of an overall shift that we're seeing, which is the overall real estate market is going to take a long time for it to recover. It might not recover to where it was pre-COVID for a very long time, but you're going to see an abundance, just a overwhelming amount of these flexible fractional workspaces, lease offers coming from hospitality providers, coming from just traditional landlords trying to figure this out. And I think we're, you know, I've been doing this for 11 years, and I think we're still at the freaking very beginning of it, which I think really goes to tell you what a big opportunity this is.
I totally agree with you. And it's funny, I agree with you also, by the way, that it will take a while for the real estate thing. And I know, you know, my friends from CBRE and MBRE and every other.
Oh, REU. No trouble. Those are my friends too.
No, right? They're posted on LinkedIn like, dude, Google's buying up shit. Like, I don't doubt that they are. It's also Google. There might be an investment part here too.
Like, yeah.
It's just like the home market's going to have to reshape. It's real estate. It's always going to come back. Like it, and I know that's like a laughing joke from 08, but it's true. Like at the end of the day, we all leave and go places, and if you go places, you have to go on someone else's land and you have to hit a button to go into a door that someone else owns. Real estate is always going to be something that is a commodity as we expand and grow more people and so forth, but they do have to adjust to how we use it. And yeah. One of the things I've noticed is talking to friends in the space and in tech guys too, like people going back to the office, is the dread of having to be here tomorrow is like the worst dread of like, you never thought of that before because you had Monday through Friday. It was like, oh man, Friday's around the corner. Now it's like tomorrow is dread. Like I was here today. I loved it. What makes me, the only thing that will make me dislike my experience here today is telling me I have to also be here tomorrow.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's what I
want. You solve that. You make it to where it's like, hey, come here on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or come here or go to a different place tomorrow. Like just, totally. I just want to be, have the choice.
It's funny because one of my friends described this about me. They're like, you need like variety,
yeah,
but you need predictable variety. Right. And I think that's what people want, right? It's like, they're going to want to pick their workspace the same way they pick their lunch restaurant. Today, I'm in the mood for something lively and a little
Doesn't spicy, that make sense? You know to me, that mean? Makes perfect sense.
And they're going to book it on their phone in the morning. 85% of the bookings on our platform happen either the night or the morning of, or the night before, you know, someone uses right. space. So people are really thinking about the space in a very different way than 5 years at a time. And it totally makes sense because even for your job, right? Like you have three companies. So you might need a different type of workspace for your role in each company. Or me, some days I want a quiet space so I can focus. Some days I need to get out of my head and I want to be around other people. And the idea that I can find what I need today also coordinated on my child's drop off schedule, and if I have the car, is the name of the game. And it just, you know, it makes so much sense. It's what we've been doing. You look at the legacy of the office and how we came to where we are today. It's obvious, but the yeah. rules have changed, and so should we.
I think it's probably the most underestimated or overlooked, or however you want to look at it, part of your business. Like you nailed it right there. And honestly, if you were asking me, I would bet the farm on this one part. Like, forget about all the rest of the stuff. That's other people will figure out logistics and how we want to run our businesses. The end of the day, I have a big meeting that requires people to bring a pen. I want to go to an impressive office that looks like some shit from, you know, from Social Network.
Totally.
I have a meeting with a couple of my creatives on our next ad campaign. I want to go to Artworks. I have totally. A podcast. I want to go to a place that has audio. Like that is built.
We have podcast rooms on right. the network.
I just like, wouldn't that make sense? Like that seems yes. super logical to me. I want Mexican food today. So I'm going to Hacienda. Like I want to go get a steak. I'm going to Gibson's. Like to me, if that is so logical. And I just think it's one of those, it's an inevitable thing. That's just what I think. I've thought that for a while, but it's
you
different.
You heard it here first, everybody. It's inevitable.
You heard it here last. I'm like, I'm showing up a little late to the party. I don't get out no, much. No, man.
This is great. And you've always been very supportive of what we're doing. It's just been fun to see it chart. Because to your point, who could have expected any of this? And it's just been really fun to get to watch, you know, for kind of first row view of just a really transformative change. I mean, think of like, there are a few asset classes in our whole universe bigger than where we work every day.
Right.
And to see like that fundamentally change and be looking at it while it's changing has been something. I don't know if I'll ever get to experience anything like that in my career again.
No one knows what's going to happen in the world. You know, I know it's busy and you got to raise money and company stuff is always a pain in the ass. I hope somewhere down the line, you take a second to just think about this, that you were looking at the, like, we were crazy co-working hybrid incubator space growth everywhere. And you're like, fuck, what a tailwind. And you had no idea that just like a year and a half later, your entire world, like, there's only maybe two or three, if tops, industries that have the tailwind that you have right now.
I think so too, man. Thank you for saying that.
It's so whoever's listening to this before you invest, you should put your money in this guy. I know and then call me. I got some docs for you to sign also.
Let's end this call. Let's get it on the internet. We need that money, baby. Let's go.
Sam, thank you so much for taking the time to jump on. Where do people, is it just dustpass.com? Is that?
Yeah, I'm sammyrosen.com, which can be found on all the internet things. But yeah, dude, thank you. It's always a pleasure. It's been fun to watching you evolve through all this stuff. And it's always really enjoyable to chat.
Likewise, my friend. If you're interested in self-directed investing from startups to crypto and public markets, my Substack is a great way to learn how professional investors screen, review, and pull the trigger on deals. Join the largest community of micro investors and startup founders on Substack by going to katoon.com.